Welcome, everybody, to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. And if you have a subject of interest, we want to discuss it with you at 1-800-677-9377. Again, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. This is your invitation to call or keep listening to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. If you have a Bible question, including questions on the book of Revelation, or if you have a personal issue you'd like to discuss, call right now. 1-800-677-9377. That call can answer your question and give you clarity. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Well, guys, it's day 15 of our focus on the book of Revelation, and Bob and Richard, it's been exciting so far. And Bob, what you got to say for us today?
Well, it has been exciting. This is just a wonderful, wonderful book. And I told our group on Sunday a couple of weekends ago, you know, I have read Revelation a number of times, and I have studied through it, but I've always done so with a question in mind. Will the church go through the tribulation? What does this mean to me? Are we in the end times? You know, based on what's happening and with current events, can we match those current events to what the book of Revelation is talking about? Can we connect the dots? But that's not the purpose of Revelation. Revelation is about Jesus Christ and the victory he has won for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. So it really is the culmination of God's good news to man, and we see it in just vivid detail. This book of Revelation really is a theology in pictures. But it does have some strange symbology and numbers and things that seem to be hard to understand. But I think as you kind of march through it and realize the revelation is truly of Jesus, some of these things come into clear focus. And here in chapter 14, which is the third chapter of three that really give us salvation history, just take a broad look, an epic look at salvation history from start to finish. And this particular chapter is the concluding one of that history. And again, we see this current of assurance that runs through the entire book here. We see believers being assured of their salvation, especially in this first part, Richard, as he introduces again the 144,000 mm-hmm. who had his name and his father's name written on their heads.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's no clearer who they are than before when we saw them, but it is clearer on why it is they've been identified. And I think that should be enough for us.
You yes. know,
I don't need to see the list of names. I see this this song they're singing. It's the only one they could learn that song. We see that there are certain characteristics about them, and you realize that not one of these people could be a just regular human being, someone who on their own matches all these characteristics. These can only be people who have been purchased by Jesus himself. They have been changed in a way. They're still unique. They're different than the rest of us who are saved somehow. But there's no human being that could ever say, no lie was found in my mouth. But these are people who have been transformed. And if they are a special group, then they have been declared that by God. If they're not a special group, if they're a representative of all of saved humanity, then it still fits that it's all God's work. It's not, no human has ever approached this, ever attained this on our own. This is only in Jesus that
right.
this could be true.
And you know, the lie on in the mouth and that sort of thing. You know, it says in John 1 that if, 1 John 1, I mean, that if we say we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves.
Yes.
We've made God out to be a liar, and the truth is not in us. It's when we come to truth about Jesus that those lies that we once believed are transformed. But one of the things that really caught me was this song that they sing,
yes,
that only they know. And it just brought up a passage in First Peter to me. It says that about this grace of God, that, you know, it was revealed to the prophets of old, that they were speaking of a group of people out in the future that were going to experience this grace of God. So it says it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And then he says this, which is, I think, one of the most astonishing verses in the New Testament. Even angels long to look into these things. Mm-hmm. Angels know not of the grace of God. They are only witnesses outside the gate, so to speak, looking in at those who have received it. But they will never know what it feels like to be saved by grace. Only us, only the redeemed, only those who have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ know this song. We're the only ones who can sing it from our hearts. We're the only ones who can truly declare the praises of the Lamb, because we have experienced firsthand what it means to be rescued, what it means to be saved, what it means to go from death to life in Him, through faith in Him. I think that's the song that we're going to sing. And again, this is such an assuring, comforting passage. In light of the judgment, in light of all of the horrible and horrific things that are going to be poured out upon those who don't know Jesus Christ, He still points to us and says, you're protected, you're loved, you belong, you're one of mine. You will sing a song that no one else knows. You will have a mark that no one else has. All of that symbolizing that you truly are a child of God. That is just great news. I mean, astonishing stuff.
It is.
When you look at it for what it really is.
Absolutely. That's Basic Gospel, friends. You're tuned to Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Bob Davis with you. Thank you for joining us. We'd love for you to join us by phone if you have a question or something you'd like to add to the conversation about the Revelation or some particular issue in your life. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. We await hearing from you. Again, the open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Moses in Newark, New Jersey, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Moses.
Hi, how's it going? I just have a quick question in regards to a famous preacher. His name is John MacArthur. He said three things, and I just want to refer to them real quick. The first is, he said, I don't understand. He said, if you're a Christian and you commit suicide, you might still make it to heaven. He said the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not active today. And basically, he said if you receive the mark of the beast, you can still make it to heaven. I don't understand that.
Well, Moses, I don't really know the context of what MacArthur may be saying.
No, he plainly said it. If a person receives the mark of the beast, that person can still can be redeemed, clearly.
Well, Moses, as far as that is concerned, you know, when we come into this world, we don't belong to God. We belong to the Prince of Darkness. We are owned by Him, basically. And we are subject to sin and death. We have the wrath of God upon us. And that wrath is removed when we come to Christ. So, as Paul put it, we were once objects of wrath, and now we've become objects of mercy. What made the difference? Faith in Jesus Christ, this gospel message, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So at one time, we all basically bore the mark of the beast, or we were owned by Satan.
I think that is false teaching. I think you're dancing around the question. The book of Revelation speaks of a specific mark of the beast.
Well, I'm not talking about the book of Revelation right now, Moses. Paul revealed and talked about in Ephesians, which is I think the important issue is that we were all dead spiritually and we needed life. We were under the control of the ways of this world. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. We were by nature objects of wrath. But that changes when the gospel message hits our hearts and we respond by faith. Once we respond by faith, we're sealed by the promised Holy Spirit. We're marked out as a person who belongs to God, who bears the name child of God. And we are saved from the wrath to come. Those who do not receive Jesus, they are marked out as people who belong to Satan. That's who they belong to. And they are the ones who are going to experience the wrath of God, eternal separation from them. So I think that's important to say. Now, it's kind of interesting. You say, hey, that's false teaching. You gotta listen. That's a strong, strong accusation. And, you know, I like having conversations. I like going back and forth. I like, you know, kind of looking at what the Bible has to say, not just a single verse. Right. So,
the thing is, the verse following, when John is describing, you know, the person that receives the mark of the beast, said those same people shall receive of the wrath of God unmixed, of the full cup of the wrath. As the verse is literally right there, it's in the plain context. I mean, so my question is, is it true? If a person of Revelation receives the mark of the beast, the specific mark of the beast, the 666, right? The one on the forehead and on the right hand, can that person be redeemed? That's just a simple question. I don't want no dancing. I just want a simple answer.
Well, Moses, I think, like you said, the verse is pretty clear. They are marked out as people who belong to the world and who worship the beast. And their eternal destiny is a separation from God and an experience of the wrath of God.
So it's a false teaching to say that those people will still be redeemed.
Moses, I don't know what in the world John MacArthur says. I don't want to speak to that. You are bringing to me things that you heard him say. I don't want to make a comment about something that's pulled out of a message. If you want to ask a question.
Let's just say my neighbor said it. No, not John MacArthur. Let's just say my neighbor told me a person can receive the mark of the beast and will not be condemned. Will that be false teaching?
It doesn't meet with what's written in Revelation 13.
Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't be false teaching. It wouldn't read what it was. Okay. All right, basic gospel.
Yeah, Moses, what I just said is that doesn't stand water against what is said in Revelation 13. Based on that, somebody who receives the mark of the beast will not be redeemed.
You should look it up online to see if I'm making it up. You know, I understand your carefulness.
What I suggest you doing, Moses, in this regard, is if you have a question with what John MacArthur teaches, or a particular teaching, you should go to John MacArthur.
Yep.
He's the one that you have issue with. So I would suggest going to him and saying, "Listen, this is what I heard you say. Is this correct? And if so, can you justify that in the Word of God? Because it seems to me that it goes against the clear teaching in Revelation 13. But he's the one that you need to talk with on this regard, not me or anyone else.
No, I go to the Bible. I can't get to that guy. He's too famous. But I think in this day and age, it's a time that we need to tighten up our belts and be men and just have clear answers.
Well, Moses, my clear answer to you is go to John MacArthur.
That's
what the Word of God tells you to do in this situation. If you have problems with his teaching, you go to him. Okay? Well, thanks for your call, Moses. We appreciate it.
1-800-677-9377. We invite you to be a part of the conversation. Again, toll-free across the country, 1-800-677-9377.
And just a comment on that particular deal. There's lots of people out there that teach different things. I barely ever listen to John MacArthur. I think I've heard him once in maybe the last 5 years. I have no earthly idea what he's saying, so I can't really comment on what he is saying, and I don't want to comment based on secondhand information.
Right.
So the scripture is very clear. If you have aught against somebody, you go to that person. That's what the Bible says, and that will eliminate a lot of the talk and the rumors and the slander and all of those sort of things. And I think that's one of the reasons that people on the outside of Christianity looking in say, hey, I don't want anything to have to do with that. You know, they just continue to backbite each other and that sort of thing. So if you have a problem with what somebody is teaching, go to that person. I think you might find out that what they're saying, you might actually believe what they're saying if you find out exactly what they're saying. And I think that's important for us to do.
I agree fully. Well, again, 1-800-677-9377, time on the clock and open lines.
Well, let's go to Frank in Brooklyn, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Frank. Frank, are you there? Well, he's asking a question. What we have on the board is it necessary to be baptized in water to be saved? It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And the answer, according to the Word of God, is no.
No.
Water baptism is not essential for salvation. There is a baptism that is essential. It's a spiritual baptism. John the Baptist baptized in water, so he placed people in water as a sign that they were preparing themselves for the coming Messiah and for the remission of sins that he was going to bring through his shed blood. But then John said of Jesus, he's the one that's going to baptize with the Spirit and with fire. So he's either going to immerse us into life or immerse us into judgment. That's what Jesus does. He holds the keys. He is the one that has been given all authority. Those who come to him by faith are baptized by the Spirit into life and placed in the body of Christ himself. That's the baptism that saves. Well, what about water baptism? Well, in light of that salvation, water baptism becomes a celebration of what Christ has done. It's a picture of the rescue mission that God brought into being through Jesus. The fact that I have died in him, the fact that I have been buried in him, and the fact that I have been raised to walk in the newness of life. It is a wonderful celebration of Jesus, but not essential for salvation.
Yes, indeed. Well, a question from another good question, as a matter of fact, from our friend Kelly in Tampa. It says, this question was asked in our study group by a member who thinks God is not in control due to the loss of a loved one from cancer. If he is in control, why does he allow this to happen? That's the question. Thank you kindly for your insight in this matter.
Boy, that's the question of the ages, isn't it?
Yeah.
We all wonder why pain and suffering and evil exist in this world. It just does. We can trace it all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When Satan entered the picture, that's when evil entered the world. And lots of the stuff that we experience, the suffering, the pain, all of that can be traced back to that event. The world has been subjected to sin and death. There's going to be a time when it is going to be renewed. There's going to be a new earth with new heavens and a new Jerusalem coming down to dwell here, and we are going to take up our place in that new Jerusalem. And at that point, you know, all tears will be wiped away. There will be no more pain and suffering. Why? Because the sin issue will be done away with forever. Christ has already dealt with it, and there's going to be a time when everything is going to be redeemed, renewed, and this new world order will come into being. Until then, we're still subject to those sin and death and sickness and disease. You know, for all of us, these bodies are going to die, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And why? Because this body has not yet been fully saved. But there will be a time when this body is going to come out as a new body. And there will be no sin living in this body. This new body will not be subject to anything but God himself. And the same is true of all of creation.
Yes, indeed. Well, thanks, Kelly, for your question. Always good questions from Kelly. We appreciate hearing from her.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Sonny listening to us in New York. Hi, Sonny.
Yeah, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the way you handled the reply you gave to that guy regarding McCarthy and what he said. And I learned a great lesson from it, the fact that you did not reply the guy that he too was wrong. I believe one thing that that guy missed in that message is that if you have a mark of a devil in your body for a period of time, if you happen to repent and believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, that person can still enter the kingdom of God.
Well, it does say, we'll talk about this tomorrow and a little bit in this chapter 14. It says a third angel comes, and in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast, an image, and receives his mark on the forehead or on the hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image. It's pretty clear there, isn't it, Richard?
Yes, and you have to try to play with this in the context of time. When, in this particular instance, this is the end of the overall salvation story, and it's too late. At any other time prior to the end, anyone who is lost can accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. The question is, will they?
Yes.
And we don't know. That's between them and God.
Absolutely. Well, Sonny, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it.
Thanks to everyone who called to be a part of this edition, and thank you for tuning in and joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. If you like what you've heard, we ask you to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. And we close the broadcast today with a reminder that your support is vital to keep Basic Gospel coming. To thank you for supporting Basic Gospel with a gift of any amount, you'll receive the booklet, Our Guaranteed Future. But something special, a special offering for you. For your generous donation of $50 or more, you'll get not only the booklet, you'll receive the 8-message CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery by Richard Piper. With your gift, you'll be helping keep Basic Gospel on the air and at the same time gaining new understanding about the book of Revelation. The booklet, Our Guaranteed Future, for a gift of any amount, that booklet and the CD series, Revelation, It's No Mystery, for a donation of $50 or more. To make the donation of your choice, call 1-800-727-2828 or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 or at our website, basicgospel.net. While you're there, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list for news and information about the ministry and resources available to you for your growth and understanding of the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and all the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the very same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.